The gospel lesson comes from the second chapter of the book of John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." And Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Late last year, Pope Francis wrote a wonderful New York Times essay on humor as the opposite and antidote to narcissism. And laughter, along with tears, as a necessity for keeping us grounded, connected, and human. In his essay, Francis told a few jokes, one of which was about Pope John the 23rd, who was well known for having a good sense of humor. And in one discourse said something like, "It often happens to me at night that I start thinking about a number of serious problems. I then make a brave and determined decision to go in the morning to speak with the Pope. Then I wake all in a sweat and remember that the Pope is me." Francis also told a joke about a rather vain Jesuit priest with a heart problem for which he has to have surgery. Before going into the operating room, the priest asks God, "Lord, has my hour come?" "No," God says, "you will live at least another 40 years. After the operation, the priest decides to make the most of his stay in the hospital. He has a hair transplant, a facelift, liposuction, new eyebrows, new teeth, etc. He comes out, in short, a brand new man. As soon as then he leaves the hospital, he's hit by a car and dies. He appears in the presence of God in heaven and protests, "Lord, you told me I was going to live another 40 years. Why didn't you protect me?" "I'm so sorry," God says. "I didn't recognize you." Humor is a connector, an antidote against narcissism, a prescription for being present to one another, and a good reminder that though our hour has not yet come, it's coming. Has Jesus' time come? That is a question at the heart of today's gospel text. We know the story well. Jesus and his disciples at a wedding in Cana, the wine runs out. It's a social disaster in that shame, honor society. Jesus' mother pulls Jesus aside. They have no wine. It's running out, she whispers. What is that to you and to me, he asks. My hour has not yet come. Now, most people would have left things alone right there, but Mary is no ordinary person. Apparently, she thinks that carrying Jesus around for 9 months in her womb gives her special permission to have her prayers answered. And without waiting for Jesus to change his mind, she tells the servants to do what Jesus tells them. And it must have been then, at that very moment, that, like Pope John later on, Jesus realized he was the one that he was waiting on. And it was at that moment that he decided to do something kind of low-key, but truly wonderful. 6 stone jars were there for the rites of Jewish purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus asked that they each be filled to the brim. Then mysteriously and somewhat secretly, he changes the water into wine. And not cheap wine either. Not Mad Dog 2020. Fine wine served in vessels of holy water. 180 gallons of the good stuff. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Don't tell the deacons. And then the story concludes with these memorable words. And Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. Irenaeus, the church father, said that the glory of God is a human being who is fully alive. Irenaeus was talking about Jesus specifically and the way in which Jesus lived his life with so much soul and so much spirit. But Irenaeus, I think, could have been speaking of us also. And anytime we hear that quote, the glory of God is a human being who is fully alive, I think we ought to ask ourselves, are we alive? Are we truly living? And are we giving life to this world? Are we bringing life to the party? This, I think, is at the heart of this story this morning. The story of Cana is a story of the brimming Spirit of God in Jesus being poured out in a loving and very life-giving way. Jesus serves up the wine of life, and those around Jesus, then taste and see that the Lord is good. All the time. We have a word in our mission statement which captures what I see happening here at Cana. That word is beauty. Now, we usually think of beauty as a kind of aesthetic quality. We look at this sanctuary and think of what a beautiful and aesthetically pleasing place it is. Indeed. But there is not only an aesthetic, but also a moral quality to beauty. 75 years ago, this sanctuary was built just as the neighborhood was being abandoned. White flight and urban sprawl and redlining ruined the neighborhood around us. Racist public policy ruined this neighborhood around us. But amid all of this, our forebears decided to build this beautiful building. And they decided to stay here. They decided to build a temple and keep it. And that is what makes this place truly, not only aesthetically, but also morally beautiful. I first learned the concept of moral beauty from my dear friend and human rights hero and pastor in the Republic of Georgia, Malkos Tsongalishvili, whom we hope will be here to preach next week. His church is a beautiful place with a beautiful, beautiful spirit. The Peace Cathedral in Tbilisi, Georgia, is a place and people who have dedicated themselves to what they call confronting the ugliness of this world with acts of beauty. Muslims and Jews are persecuted in Georgia. So what did the Peace Cathedral do? It built a beautiful synagogue and mosque in its own church. And when Russia attacked the Republic of Georgia, what did Malkos do? He went out to the front lines with bread and with wine and served it to Russian soldiers and shared the Eucharist with his country's enemies. The ugliness of war has to be confronted with beauty, he said. He resists the ugliness of this world with acts of beauty. Beloved, we live in a world that at times can be very ugly. And I am frankly concerned that it is about to turn even uglier. So let me suggest to you this morning that now is the time for us to do something that is beautiful. Now is the time to do something lovely. To do something that will make someone laugh. to do something that will make someone cry tears of joy and grace and gratitude, to do something to connect with another's humanity, and to connect with our own humanity also. We can't stop all of the ugliness in this world. We know that. But beloved, what we can do is we can share our wine. And we can break our bread. And we can do something maybe kind of low-key and truly, truly wonderful. Think of it. What you can do right now, even in a time just such as this. In an otherwise very ugly time, St. Paul wrote from his prison cell, "Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. Think on those things." And we in this very time should think on those things too. And we should do them. Whatever things are lovely and beautiful, we should do them right now. For now is truly the time to do something beautiful and good. A little low-key miracle in a nowhere town called Cana made all of the difference. It brought joy and laughter and grace and goodness to the party. And it brought honor to the hosts and to the guests. And it started, this little low-key miracle started a great big revolution of love and of light and of grace and of goodness. And if it could happen then and there, beloved, it can happen here and now. For the glory of God is revealed whenever the Spirit of God that was in Christ is in us, doing something lovely and life-giving and beautiful. And now, today and tomorrow and in the days to come is the time, our hour for doing something beautiful is here. Let us open our hearts, pour out our wine, and create beauty wherever we can. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, together all of God's people say,